Ms. Cornwell, come on down.
Thank you. Mr. President, as Ms. Cornwell's coming down to make a presentation on the commercial zoning initiative that we have undertaken this year, as you recall, we had a presentation several months ago from our staff as well as our consultant. This is a continuation of that discussion. What our hope is, and as referenced earlier in today's meeting, if council gives us the green light, is to in fact come back with an introduced ordinance. And this will impact the county ordinance, and we will run it through the standard ordinance amendment process. We will also make a presentation to the Planning and Zoning Commission at an upcoming meeting, and then probably sometime in 2017, come back with a draft ordinance for introduction and walk this through the standard ordinance amendment process. So today is a continuation of that effort. Ms. Cornwell, thank you for being here.
Thank you. Good morning. So again, as Mr. Lawson has stated, we're looking at the commercial zoning expansion. We've heard in the past that there have been some issues with the commercial zones. There's not a lot of predictability. There's too few commercial zoning classifications, too many permitted uses. There are several hundred permitted uses within the zoning classifications, and then a one-size-fits-all approach to commercial development. So currently there are four commercial zoning classifications. We have our urban business, which is usually if it's a town, and they want us to do some of their zoning. There is none actually zoned this in the county. And we have the neighborhood business, which is the B1, the general commercial, which is a closed zone, which means it exists, you just can no longer rezone to that classification. And then we have the commercial residential zone, the CR1. So what we're looking to do is close all four of those commercial zoning districts. If there are any, again, they will stay and people will be able to use that. But we're looking at creating seven new commercial zoning classifications. So we're looking at a new neighborhood business, a B2, a medium commercial, a heavy commercial, a planned commercial development, a service limited manufacturing district, a professional office, and an institutional district. So I'm going to go over them a little bit more. So the neighborhood business, it's very similar to the existing B1, however, fewer uses, and it's also going to have some minimum lot sizes. So the minimum lot size, again, it's intent to be kind of near the residential, you know, a good buffer between the residential and some more commercial. So minimum lot size is 30,000 square feet. You know, maximum lot size, it'd be 3 acres. So you're not getting, you know, a 20-acre neighborhood business property. And the maximum floor area is maximum size of a building could be 25,000 square feet. For the medium commercial, again, we're looking at, you know, commercial uses. It's a step up from our neighborhood business. No outside storage or sales. Minimum lot size would be 15,000 square feet, no maximum, and then the maximum building floor area would be 75,000 square feet. The C3, our heavy commercial district, intended for your car dealers. That's where you're going to want to see those kind of along the highways, along the major routes, not something that makes sense, you know, on a smaller road or closer to the neighborhoods. So it's kind of geared towards certain uses, boat sales, truck sales, even some rental on a major road. Minimum lot size would be 3 acres, no maximum lot size because sometimes they need a little bit larger area, and no maximum floor area. So you could have a larger building again. But this use would just be for auto-oriented retail and service. So, you know, car sales, and fixing cars. So the C4 is our planned commercial district. Again, there are 18 proposed uses to encourage planned large-scale commercial, retail, mixed-use developments, creating a superior shopping, working, living environment. This is a good kind of a balance between, right off the highway before you get into some of the lower density. It's a good kind of area to put in some of these uses. The minimum lot size would be a minimum of 10 acres. And again, the maximum floor area would be 75,000 square feet. So nothing, you know, we're not looking at those big boxes. We're looking at, you know, some smaller mid-range stores and uses. So now we're looking at our C5, which is a service limited manufacturing commercial. It's a little bit of a hybrid, services with recognizing maybe some manufacturing, to where those, you have some commercial businesses, but it's moving into a little bit more of a manufacturing or has more of manufacturing as part of the commercial use. And this, again, would have 18 uses within the zoning district. The minimum lot size would just be 25,000 square feet with no maximum lot area or building square footage. And again, you could do some light industrial warehousing in this classification. And then we're looking at a professional office district. Office buildings, office park, professional offices, you could have up to 50% of the floor area for, auxiliary commercial uses. So, if you have an office building, maybe you want to have, a restaurant in the first floor or some other use that makes it easier for the people working there to not have to go on the highway to go to the dry cleaner or to the drugstore or something like that. So no minimum lot sizes, no maximum lot sizes. So this would just be geared towards, we want some office buildings. We want to put them in a certain location. Office uses also are a good buffer between residential and where you're more heavier commercial, because offices are usually only open during the day, which means there's less traffic going to that property at night. So there's less traffic for people when they're home, a little less conflict. And then we have an institutional use. Recognizing the public, the quasi-public institutional uses, your hospitals, your schools, some of your utilities potentially, they could be located here. There's a potential 14 proposed uses in this classification. So again, as you can tell, we're reining in some of those uses. If you want this classification, there are 14 uses that fall into this classification. And again, no minimum, no maximum. Sometimes schools need several hundred acres, maybe, something smaller needs a few less, so we're not limiting them in any way. And then if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer anything.
Question, Mr. Cole.
Over the year, we've talked about this for, many, many years. It never really moved, in any direction. But like on a big box store, we have a Target. For instance, once they come to Sussex County, where would they go? Again, so just tell me that. Which district?
They would fall into the planned commercial district, okay, because this would allow for planned large-scale commercial, retail, and mixed uses. Okay. Now, this does have a maximum of 75,000 square feet, so we would have to... top of my head, I can't remember. I thought we looked at something. And again, the CR1 is still exists. So if there's a property that's already zoned CR1, you could do the large scale as well.
Right.
And then this would also allow for, you can do the change of zone with a site plan at the same time. So in this stat district, you're getting some of those larger mixed use. And yeah. I know there's been concerns about, well, we want to see the site plan at the same time as the change of zone. This would allow for that.
Could you give us in how many uses were in the proposed C4? Was there like 18 uses?
There are 18 uses.
18. Could you show us what those 18 uses would be? Is there a list there anywhere?
We have not created the exact list. We're still working on those. You're looking at retail. So any type of typically retail, a mixed use. So you could do residential the same building. So a mix of commercial on the first and residential. excuse me, apologize. Mm-hmm. So those are things that you could do there. Some of the categories may be, a little broad, but again, it's not allowing, currently the CR1 has,
I know. No, I've always
uses, so we're reining them in and trying to get them a little bit more focused.
Right. When people come and stand where you are and tell us they want to do certain things, and I think Mr. Arletz even acknowledges that it'd be nice to know that when they left, we would get what they said they were, had said there's a need for this. Please rezone this property so we can do this. That's why I kind of envision maybe something more tied or how we can tie it maybe with traffic generating type of operations. I envision something like a commercial district for, say, restaurants and fast foods, and then maybe a commercial district that a category that provided for, say, business and an office. And then things like, so then if they change their uses, they'd have to come back in and go through another process. And I don't know what the process would be, but it would be, you know, wouldn't be as broad. Again, as, again, it seems like you can get a lot of things in each of these. And I don't know if, again, I envision something maybe a little tighter, and maybe a district was commercial strip shopping center, you know, or something like that. And but we could tie, cause I think DelDOT has studies showing different uses and the traffic generated from those types of uses. And so maybe we could, you know, bring together uses and traffic generation. Because a movie theater, when you go by Midway and see all those movie theaters and you see all those cars, versus another type of use would not have as much traffic. So anyway, I was looking at something like that in my mind. And again, I don't know if we're still being broad, but we've tightened it up, but we're still being a little broad. I don't
know. Mr. Cole, to your point, that's, we do have sort of a chart with those items listed out, and that's kind of the the next step, and the way we're kind of organizing them is along those same lines, so that uses that are sort of maybe smaller and don't generate as much traffic as others go into one of those categories, and then, you know, step up to the next. So that's the step that's in process before we bring you an ordinance to have that reduced. So trust me, that's definitely part of the discussion.
Okay, and what would happen if somebody had a one of these, and then they change, and what they wanted to do because the demographics have changed, or something, the neighbor, you know, changing characteristics 20 years down the road.
Well, for example, if they wanted to go from a restaurant to retail, and that was all in the same, whichever
classification. Right.
Then they would be fine. If they wanted to jump to another classification, it'd be a rezoning, just like anybody else would have to apply for.
Yeah, but I just know, like a fast foods, you know, the drive-ins and stuff, certain ones generate a hell of a, you know, heck of a lot of traffic, versus a guy doing a diner. Nothing could be finer than having a little diner with a few cars.
We did look at that as part of, you know, some of our discussions we've had, is, you know, a sit-down restaurant versus, you know, one with a drive-through, determining whether or not where those would be appropriate. Where gas stations would be appropriate. So we're still drilling down and trying to figure out the best
location. What I'm maybe suggesting is, I got a perception, and I don't know, it's not in any textbook that I know of, it's just sitting here. Maybe before we go too far, we have it like a workshop possibly or something, and because I think we get too far down the road, you know how county council can get. We can all of a sudden change course or something. So maybe come up with a format, or maybe and then maybe some other ideas. Because I think that if I'm living in a neighborhood and I hear somebody's going to rezone a piece of property commercial, I want to know what it is. And if they say, oh, it's going to be, I'll just use like a McDonald's, and they go, oh my God, that, you know, I don't want that near me. But I wouldn't mind, you know, a commercial, whatever. But anyway, it would be a little tighter.
Well, I think that's easy enough to do, is we kind of figure out the categories.
Okay.
Before we get to the ordinance, we can almost just give you the chart and say, these are the uses that are going in.
Well, something like that. And
just have that discussion.
And then also, as anybody considered, part of the problem I think we've got today is there's no sunsetting with zoning. We zone something, and they walk out of here, and it may never happen. 30 years, 20 years down the road, whatever. All of a sudden, oh, that was zoned, you know, 20 years ago. Nobody knew it. We sunset subdivisions. We sunset some other things, and we should be looking at sunsetting others, because there should be a time period that if nothing occurs, that it reverts back. Is there any way?
Well, you currently have the authority to do that now, because council has the authority on petition or on its own to rezone a property if it deems appropriate. So, you know, you could introduce an ordinance to return somebody zoning to AR1, for example, if it was zoned to something else.
Well, no,
there's that inherent in the code now.
But that would mean we would have to initiate it.
Mm-hmm.
So you had a piece of property, you hadn't done anything, when it was zoned C something, commercial, and the county would have to take the initiative. I don't like that. I'd rather have you, the applicant, come in and say, I want to do this, and I need this rezoned so I can do that. And then that doesn't happen. I'd like to see that after a certain number of years, that it, they lose it. If you don't use it, you lose it, right?
We can take a look at that, certainly.
I just think it keeps things more current and keeps more...
it's all the same piece of land, George. Regardless of what you're talking about.
Okay, I understand, Sam. Anyway, so sunsetting...
Mr. Cole has the floor.
Yeah, so sunsetting, I think, is something I'd like to discuss. And again, I rest the council can chime in later on that, but we don't have to discuss it now, but I think it's be an important feature, a tool that we would have.
Sounds like we're going to make regulations over how much traffic there is, right?
No, this has nothing to do with that.
It's exactly where George is going. That's where his questions. That's where his statement is.
It just, I think, gives the idea behind it is to give more predictability to everybody. If you apply for something, you know more what it is that's going to be, the use that's going to be put to that property. That's all.
Well, if they don't like it, where it's next door, they are going to buy it, right? Who do we tell people next door what they're going to have? Who might tell somebody else what kind of property, how they're going to control their property? Who's going? Who are you telling me what kind of, what I can put on my property? Can't put on what I own.
Well,
if you don't like it, you should buy it. You should buy it, correct?
That,
you don't mean property rights then, do you?
No, I do. I also know what the state law and the code says. And
well, if you keep making a code, we're going to make it the same way, just what you said you want us to do.
Mr. Wilson, just to be clear, for the benefit of council, we're not looking to limit any of the
uses
that exist now. No, that's absolutely not the case. In fact, we're probably going to add some uses that don't currently exist in our code, because when the code was drafted in the early 1970s, there's a lot of things that people do now that weren't occurring in early 1970. So we're probably going to actually end up expanding it in some respects by saying there's permitted uses that, you know, aren't listed now. We're not going to eliminate any. We're not going to take anybody's right away to apply for a particular zoning category that allows them to do something. I want to be perfectly clear about that. We're just going to, you know, sort of divide it up so that it's more clear what it is you're actually applying for. That's all.
Yeah, a little bit more reorganization and a little bit more clarity when a change of zone actually comes before the Planning Commission and County Council for decision making.
Desperately, I totally agree with you 100%.
Question one of the council? Things, too, we're looking to do is, oh, I'm sorry, Mr. President. Right now, if you don't fit into any of the zoning categories, you have to apply for a conditional use, which really limits you what you can do. And we've heard that that's problematic when applicants go to banks and get financing, because a lot of times, if it's a one specific use, it's troubling, you know, for banks to finance that because they can't use the property for anything else. This will actually hopefully open that up so they can apply for a zoning change to one of these sub-districts. And have a little more flexibility that will hopefully give businesses a better opportunity to get their financing to move forward with their business. Okay. So I think it's a good thing to clean it up.
One last thing, if I can, Richard, and I'll be off my train. In the agricultural district, was there any consideration to permit certain types of commercial activity in the ag district that would complement the ag community? Is there any? Are we on the wrong ordinance on that, or
is the commercial end of it?
This is just commercial, but
we are looking at doing that.
But could there be a commercial category, like a C4, C something, or C ag? So there would be some permitted uses to encourage economic development in the ag community, and be appealing to ag. You know, like Purdue and Mount Air and things like that, that make this county so, so financially strong. So anyway, an ag commercial type of category.
We can certainly do that.
Okay, I'm done.
Mr. Arnett. Well,
thank you, Mr. President.
We'll come back to Wilson.
I actually wrote down what Councilman Cole had just stated, and the way I would envision this as well is very simple. This is a commercial zoning district, or areas, if you would. So that ties directly to economic development. So this is a template, if you would, for Sussex County's future as it relates to economic development. So the question that I have, number one, is that have we reached out to the business world, to the business community, and hopefully we will if we have not, because in the end, that's really relevant. We have to be open for business.
Absolutely.
And the question is, how do we go forward? So to me, we have to have the input of the business community and what's best for them, and in essence, how can we support them? How can we make it simple? How can we simplify the process? And at the same time, be responsible to the public as it relates to the transparency process and expectations. So in other words, some come before us, they do this, this is what they get. So to me, it's a simplicity effort to create economic development in this county. So can you talk a little bit about that and your thoughts on that as well?
Yeah, I think it will. And we started to reach out to some of the business community and people that are involved in planning for businesses as well as some commercial developers. And that dialogue will continue because obviously we don't want to, you know, jam something on the business community or the county or the residents that's just not workable. And one of the things that we've heard in public hearings, to your point, Mr. Ouellette, is that and it's been said, is that the way it currently works is there's not a lot of predictability and there's a lot of concern. You know, we have developers or applicants come and they're going to build a project and it's been fairly well designed and you see it as part of the presentation. And there's always sort of an underlying concern about, well, that's a great picture, but how do we know we're going to get that? And I think this will go a long way to helping, to your point, the developers and the businesses kind of get through the process, because the county is going to hold them to what they apply to, because they're going to be limited in their district that they're applying, because there's going to be limited uses, or if they go to the planned commercial district, it's very specific what they're doing. So they'll be able to come up here with the backing of the code and say, I'm doing this. So everybody will be better served by that. The public will have more of a comfort level going forward because they know what the applicant is saying is what's going to occur under that zoning district. So I think it'll really promote business. I think it'll give more comfort to the public that's concerned about what's going, you know, in a specific area. So I think it's good all around. We don't always get things that help everybody, and I think this is one of those that really will.
Yeah, back in March, I asked the question, you know, who are we as Essex County? And I think this ordinance has to reflect of where the vision is. Is yes, we are an agricultural farming community, and we have to reflect that here. We are a tourist destination. We have to reflect that. And yes, we always talk about we need more manufacturing jobs in this county. Well, how is this going to reflect and attract those businesses that would want to do that? So as we move forward, those are just the highlights that I'm hoping that we are thinking about, is how is this going to dictate and attract who we are and where we want to be. So that's all.
And I would just add to that real quick. One of the things of getting this done now in the early stages, relatively early stages of our comp plan, is if we can get this ordinance through, that will be a real tool that we can use in the comp plan to then say, okay, these specific districts are appropriate here, rather than just saying CR1 and you have, you know, a wide range of uses that may not be appropriate everywhere. So I think that gets back to your point of helping with economic development.
Well, this is just the first step of many, but again, I think, you know, George has made the comment and we've all kind of been agreeable to that. I mean, we are ag community, so where are we doing that in our zoning to reflect that? I mean, really, how are we benefiting the ag business currently? Number two is these districts, again, I've said it before, but to the public, if we have an AR1 as we do today on a national highway, to think that it's going to stay that way on a national highway is probably not really accurate. And so we have to look at that as well as we move forward. So,
and that's typically something you'll look at as part of the comprehensive plan and the future land use plan is, as we move forward, we'll look at, you know, if we go forward with these commercial zoning districts, where in the county are they most appropriate, and what, you know, maybe we'll have a couple of different land use classifications or something to tie in back to recognize that they need to go in certain areas.
More questions of council?
Yeah, another one popped in my head. Is there any potential for any kind of regional aspect to this? I've always said that it'd be nice to encourage, you know, manufacturing more so on the western side of the county. You get the job. We had DuPonts over there for years and things like that, where the coastal area is obviously more geared to the tourism. I think that manufacturing facilities are going to be plopped in the coastal areas, maybe, you know, being, you know, not thinking straight. But anyway, but if we could, I mean, I can see a maybe this process we're going through, do give some incentives for the western side of the county to encourage, you know, something over there that would maybe be discouraged on the coastal side. Well, it's just a way to look at it, because we're not typical of most counties. Most counties are, you know, have same borders all the way around. We have Atlantic Ocean on one side, and we have, you know,
have bay on each side.
Well, and I think that's sort of the idea. Like, for example, the C5 is service limited manufacturing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one where, you know, if this ordinance were adopted, you know, and we could get it done fairly quickly while the comp plan's going on, we could specify, you know, that there's areas on the western side of the county that would be appropriate for that, mm-hmm. or maybe LI or whatever. But you can drill down more if you have a more specific district than if you just say CR1's okay here. You know? Mm-hmm. So I think it can really be useful for that.
Any more questions to the council?
Number one,
Wilson.
Agriculture is number one business. Don't forget that. Don't worry about the west side. The agriculture takes care of the west side. And the reason I'm talking about regulations is because EPA, they're worried about us, worried about the farmer. We're going to put too much fertilizer on. Now they got to a point, you know, we're not even really supposed to be plowing our soil. Believe it or not, it's almost like I have permits in my pocket right now that says that I have how much fertilizer I can put on, how much chemical I can put on, all that kind of nonsense. It's all about regulations. Regulations are about regulating me to death. That's why I'm so fussed up about hearing about regulations all the time. EPA is about to kill us. I'm certainly glad to hear Mr. Trump, he's elected, so I'm cut off half. We're going to do away two regulations, we'll add one. So right now we're trying to add two and don't even take nothing away. That's what's got my goat. You know, we hire more help, just add more regulations. So we got to spend more money to get more regulations. So that's probably the direction we're going, I think. That's my opinion,
yeah,
Mr. That's why I'm elected from the west side.
Any more comments from council, questions from council?
Thank
you very much for where we are today. I think we would all agree that if there's anything we've heard from the public, it's normally when somebody comes in and asks for CR1 zoning, they can present one thing and do 100 others.
Yes.
And there's no rhyme or reason or whatever. So I think this is certainly a step in the right direction. I'm sure we'll have a lot more conversation. And maybe we do need at some point in time a one-day workshop if we want to invite in whoever to talk about this, landowners, business people, whatever. But I think it makes sense to most people you talk to if we narrow it down as to what goes in a certain zoning area. Then there's a little more predictability of what's going to happen to my next door neighbor. But thank you for where today. Look forward to hearing from you again. It'll be an ongoing process, but thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Mr. Medlar.